The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia El Khoury, and today I'm joined by Kasia Truefitt, who is the Community Engagement Manager at Hearts Inclusive Theatre. Kasia, thank you for joining us on The Parents Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you. And I have to say, I'm new to Hearts Inclusive Theatre. So let's start with you. Talk to us a little bit about your role at Hearts Inclusive Theatre, and we'd love to hear all about it.
Yeah, so Hearts Inclusive Theatre has nearly been running for 25 years next year, which is amazing. Oh,
I can't believe that, and I hadn't. I'm so embarrassed. Sorry, I haven't heard of you before now.
It's okay. We are a really small organisation, but with a massive impact. We deliver all across the county of Hertfordshire. And my role in particular as community engagement is really looking and identifying different needs across the county. So whether that be with working with children, young people, or always up to adults and elderly, and running bespoke workshops that could be in dance and movement, it could be in creative arts, it could be obviously drama is the main kind of art form we use as a theatre company. But yeah, my role is a little bit more bespoke in sort of collaborating with different organisations to create projects that really are needed. And then in terms of the rest of what we do as an organisation is we run regular term time and holiday activities across the county, and those are for children and for young people up to age 18, and we also have an adult session as well on Thursdays. So yeah, we run lots of different things all across Hertfordshire.
Awesome. And tell us, so when you say inclusive, what do you mean?
So inclusive, I always like to say, I think the word is really thrown around quite a lot, and we really pride ourselves on being truly, truly inclusive. Anybody and everybody is welcome in our sessions. So a lot of the young people we work with are disabled. We have wheelchair users. We have pre-verbal young people that come along to our sessions. And we have an amazing team of freelance creative people that work in our sessions that have such great experience working with lots of different needs so that we can adapt our sessions to make sure they're inclusive for everybody and everybody's ideas are heard and everybody can perform. So there really is a stage for everybody.
It's so lovely, and it's so refreshing to hear such an inclusive definition of inclusivity. I know that sounds a bit silly, but quite often you might just be talking about disabled or you might just be talking about older people, but you really span the whole spectrum.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And we have, you know, young people that are neurodiverse. We really, again, like pride ourselves on having sensory spaces and quiet spaces. And we're always looking sort of from an in-house point of view, how we can make our organization more inclusive from the get-go. So from the second a person walks into one of our sessions, what information have they had before they get there? Is it going to be helpful for them to see photos of the team and maybe have a phone call from someone in the office? So because it can be overwhelming to come to something new and to meet a new group of faces. So it's always kind of making sure people, we can break down those barriers basically so that anybody can access what we're doing. And yeah, we're really group of friendly people and really caring. And like I said, our team of freelancers are so experienced in the work they deliver. So always ready to sort of welcome new people, whatever their needs are.
Brilliant. And I know it's a theatre and I should know exactly what that means. But in case there are other listeners who are out there like me, what does a theatre group involve? Like what kind of skills? What are you teaching? Do you expect? Run it through.
Yeah. So every group we work with, we like to work towards some kind of performance or production, but we're completely participant led, which means we take the ideas from the young people and the children we work with. So we're not necessarily coming in and saying, we're going to put on a play about, I don't know, you know, Annie the Musical, for example. We might do that, but it will be led by the participants. They might say, we really want to make a show about pirates. We really love the idea of bringing a storybook in and bringing it to life. So in terms of how a session runs, we run lots of sort of fun drama games, which are all about building confidence, encouraging young people to meet other people in the space and get to know them and make friends. And then, yeah, we'll work on different drama techniques to build confidence. We might write scripts, we might create set designs, we might bring in choreography. And then, yeah, if young people want to perform, there's always the option to be on stage and perform, but there's never a pressure to do that. Again, coming back to sort of inclusivity, it's not a case of you come in and you need to be on stage, but there is the option to do that if people want to do that. And it's always led by their creative ideas.
That's lovely. And what you said there is really interesting. So you said build confidence, and you've described a variety of skills. So you're not looking at fully formed actors. You're kind of, again, reaching out across the spectrum of ability.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And we have some people that come to us. They might have tried other drama groups. They might be doing drama at school or college. But yeah, and like I said, anybody is welcome to come and give it a go. It could be mainly coming to meet friends and wanting to find people that are similar to them or have, yeah, similar needs that they would feel connected to. And then that might be a way of actually then they decide they do love drama. Or yeah, other people completely fresh to it and just want to experience what we mean by being in theatre company. Some people might like the sort of background side of things, like the technical aspects of putting on a performance, the lighting, you know, the design, the costumes. So we try to make it really inclusive again for anyone to come in and see what we're doing.
It's really, really nice to hear. And what kind of people come to you? So you've described a few of them. Do you need a background in drama to join in? Do you need to be a really kind of vivacious, outgoing person? Can you give us a little bit of a taster of the different types of kind of characters you engage with?
I mean, you can literally come as you are. There is no expectation on anybody that comes through our doors. We have lots of different characters. We have big characters, like I say, that might have done drama previously or might just have a natural talent. And we have other people that are quieter and maybe it is quite daunting for them to come in, or you know, they might be feeling some anxiety, but we're there to support them in how they're feeling on the day. It's really important for us to do check-in and check-outs with all of our participants. How are they feeling when they walk in? How are they feeling when they leave? So we can sort of see the progress in what's happening in the session and if there's anything we can do better to support them when they're with us. But yeah, so no, lots of different characters, but you don't need to have had any experience, any kind of training. Just come along and have some fun, really, and see if you like it.
It sounds really, really encouraging. And it must be so rewarding working at this kind of a job and seeing people's evolution and confidence grow. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen and about some, you know, people who've kind of blossomed under your tutelage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest highlight for my sort of my career working with Hearts Inclusive Theatre is often you might get parents or carers that are concerned their child might be too disabled to come along to a session. They might need too much support. Maybe they're in an environment normally when they have, you know, such high needs that they're not welcome to go to other external activities or extracurricular groups. And they come along to one of our sessions and then their parent, their carer, they see them on stage performing. And it's just that kind of real, like, wow, I never thought I'd be able to see that young person doing that. And you just see such confidence in the young person being able to get up on stage and do whatever they're doing. We have quite a lot of young people that might have been sort of nonverbal when they start with us. And through doing drama over the years, they've been able to, you know, whether find confidence to be able to speak in front of people. Oh, yeah, working on kind of their communication, their language. So that's also an amazing advantage of doing drama.
And do you need to have a goal with it? I mean, do you need to be thinking, oh, GCSE drama or A-level drama or anything else? Or can it be a goal in and of itself?
Yeah, so all of our sessions are sort of outside of school hours. So it could complement doing drama within GCSE, A-levels, within, you know, just within school. But it can just be a hobby that you do alongside. It might be that you come along on a Monday night or you know, on a Thursday evening and you do drama with HIT and then you potentially when you're older you might go on to do further training, and that's great. But we are a kind of extracurricular organization, so not providing sort of support with GCSE or so yeah, it's not kind of in line with the curriculum, if that's what you mean, but it definitely could support that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I meant more complimentary, as you said, indeed, but it sounds like such a lovely, warm, welcoming environment. And I think in an age when every parent is concerned about mobile phone use and too much screen time, your theatre sounds like a wonderful antidote to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Getting off the screens, getting our bodies moving, being creative and yeah, really collaborating with other people that might be similar ages, have similar backgrounds, similar needs, and feeling included in a space that's hopefully, as I believe, is really approachable and really friendly.
It sounds lovely, Kasia. And so if parents are listening in and it sounds appealing to them, what's the first step?
So you can find us across all social media platforms. So we're Hearts Inclusive Theatre. Best bet would probably be going to go to our website, which is hit-theatre.org.uk. And we use a booking system, which is all embedded into our website. So you could see kind of what sessions and classes we have going on, what projects we have. We also have holiday activities during the school holidays. So you can kind of find all of our programs on our website and our social media. And then, yeah, you could drop us an email or a phone call if you just want to maybe come along and visit a session. And yeah, we're always here to have a chat.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Is it okay to drop in? Because I would imagine for some children who might be new to drama, but it's just something like they'd like to have a little taster session of, is that possible?
Of course, yeah. We always offer trial sessions so people can come along. Parents, carers can stay in the space if they need to. If they're not confident to come on their own, first of all, that's absolutely fine. Come along and they can stay with someone. And yeah, we've just introduced a new thing called an open week, which we've just had back in October, and it should be sort of annually, where all of our sessions are open to the public. So you book a ticket and you can come along and sit and watch our inclusive practice and see what happens in a session. So that'll be happening again sort of next year. We haven't finalized dates yet, but that's also something we offer, is to come along and just see what we do.
It sounds brilliant, because I think breaking the ice a little bit is probably important for young people who are considering taking it up.
And there's always the option to come along and see a show as well. You know, if you wanted to maybe come and check out the performances we have going on our website as well, come along and see it in action. And then that might be a nice way of seeing what we do before you come to a session or a project.
Brilliant. And you're based here in St. Albans. Are you only in St. Albans? Are you open to the whole of Hertfordshire?
So yeah, we're based in St. Albans. We don't actually deliver a term time regular session in St. Albans. We have holiday activities here. So we deliver sessions Hemel Hempstead, Stevenage, Watford, Bushy, Harrow, I think that's all of them, and Boreham Wood and Hartsmere.
Wow. So lovely, lovely wide geographical spread as well.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, we try and cover sort of north and east and south Hertfordshire.
And age groups, talk to me a little bit about what age group you might find yourself in if you were thinking about signing up.
So we have children's sessions that run from 5 to 12 years old. And then we have young people sessions, 12 to 18 year olds. And then we have adult sessions, so 18 plus. So again, you can find all that information on our website about what age group and where, what location would suit you best.
That's brilliant, because I suppose different ones are filled to different capacity. But it sounds like a really, really lovely initiative. And how are things going? I mean, it's tricky times, I think, for businesses. Are you completely funded by people signing up for courses, or do you get any more kind of institutional support?
So yeah, so funding's always an issue for us as a charity. We're always, looking for more and more funding and running fundraisers. We do charge a fee to attend our sessions, but it's quite a low fee to make it accessible for everybody. We really don't want money to ever be a barrier for people. So if it's not affordable, we would ask people to come and speak with us, and we would do our best, because we try and get funding to support everybody accessing the work we do. So yeah, things are going really well. We've got, a brilliant team of staff and freelancers that work with us. We've got brilliant participants. We're just always looking for different ways to kind of fundraise and keep the work going.
Lovely. Kasia, thanks so much for joining us on the Parents Show. And just remind everybody of the website just once more, so that we can make sure they get right to you.
Of course. So it's HIT, which is short for Hearts Inclusive Theatre. So hit-theatre.org.uk.
hit-theatre.org.uk.
And Hearts Inclusive Theatre across all socials, you'll find us.
That's lovely. Thanks a million for joining us on the Parents Show, Kasia.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
I'm delighted to be joined by Tanya Byrne today, who is working at Hearts Inclusive Theatre, and she's going to tell us a little bit about their fundraising efforts in the lead up to Christmas. Tanya, thanks so much for joining us on the Parents Show.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your role at HIT Hearts Inclusive Theatre and what you're up to at the moment.
Sure. So by day, I'm the fundraising manager. Which means that I write the grant proposals and reports. So I get to do a lot of writing about all the wonderful things that we do. And I'm also one of the lead facilitators in our theatre workshop. So I direct our participants to produce theatre shows.
Brilliant. So you've got a couple of hats on there, Tanya.
Yeah, a few.
Brilliant. I bet the proposal writing is probably a little bit more hard work than the directing. I bet the directing's more fun.
Oh, the directing's more fun for sure. But the writing is also fun because I get to reflect on the work that I do and we do. And I just get to pick out all the best bits about our work and tell other people about them. So that's kind of fun too.
Brilliant.
It's waiting on the decisions, right, about whether they want to give us a grant. That's the hard bit.
Yeah. And it's not, I don't think it's easy for anybody at the moment. It hasn't been for a while for charities.
Yeah, it's a challenging sector, definitely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And of course, just remind our listeners a little bit about the essence and the spirit of Hearts Inclusive Theatre and where you are.
Oh, sure. So we have workshops all over the county of Hertfordshire, in Bushy, Hemel Hempstead, actually Harrow, which is a little bit outside, Stevenage and Ware. We also have a project called the Wednesday Night Project in Borehamwood, and we provide theatre workshops for disabled and neurodivergent children, young people and adults.
Brilliant. I absolutely love the work you do, and it's such a fantastic place to have like across the whole of Hertfordshire. It's brilliant. And what other things are you up to in the lead up to Christmas?
So all of the groups have actually combined on a project at the moment, which is our Christmas fundraising video song. So we worked with a lady called Helen Arney, who is also a person who wears many hats. And one of her hats is that she writes musical theatre. So last year, Helen and her songwriting colleague, Lucy Armstrong, were commissioned by the Glyndebourne Opera to write a Christmas song. It was recorded in a primary school featuring opera singers from Glyndebourne and the children at the school. And then Helen mentioned that she wanted it to be used again this Christmas somewhere. So we worked with her and they really generously gifted us the song, the use of the song. It's called Christmas Magic. It is absolutely delightful, channels all the best bits about Christmas, all the keywords that make us smile and feel really good. And all of our groups that I mentioned, so the Bushy, Hemel, Stevenage, Ware, Harrow, have each recorded part of it, which I am now editing together. And when we release the song in early December, it'll be on YouTube, all of our socials, our website. We want people to share this and consider sharing it instead of buying a Christmas card or instead of buying a pack of Christmas cards. Maybe consider donating to us instead, because Christmas is a time of charity, right, where we think about, you know, giving to other people. So we have this lovely product, which is the finished video. It's absolutely joyful. There's lots of dancing and giggles and wonderful people working on it. And we hope that people will share this and donate the cost of a pack of Christmas cards to us instead.
That's brilliant. What a lovely, lovely idea. And of course, we're going to hang fire with this interview. I'm going to wait until December 1st when the video and the song will be released. And how can we be ready? We're going to play it for you during this show. And tell us a little bit about how people can make that donation to HIT and how they can listen to the song after we've played it on the show.
Wonderful. So it will be on YouTube. I guess we can search for Christmas Magic Hearts Inclusive. But the best way to find it will be on our website and our social media. On the video itself and all of the accompanying blurbs and marketing and things that we put on social media, we'll have a QR code and a link that you can click on that will take you to our giving page. So that's where you can donate. And then it'll be a really easy YouTube link that you can share with other people and post yourself on socials.
Lovely. So forget about Christmas cards this year, or even a Christmas card. Donate the price to Hearts Inclusive Theatre and share the song as your gift to people, as your Christmas card and way of getting in touch with people in the lead up to Christmas.
Absolutely. And it is such a joyful, lovely video. People will not be disappointed.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much for telling us about that, Tanya. And anything else you want to let our listeners know about that Hearts Inclusive Theatre is up to?
Well, the next thing after Christmas, we'll be focusing on our regular term time groups. So if anybody is interested in finding drama workshops for their children, young people or adults, they can, again, look on our website and there will be options to sign up for 2 free trials starting in January term.
I love that, 2 free trials, because obviously you mightn't quite get the hang of it in one trial. Mm-hmm. But by the second, you'll have bedded in a little bit. You'll see how things really go. So it gives you a chance to fully appreciate what you would be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And after one session, our staff are really knowledgeable in inclusion. And after one session, when we've got to know someone, we can show in the second session how we can even better accommodate their support needs and show them a really good time in the workshop.
That's brilliant. Lovely. Thanks so much, Tanya. It's been great chatting to you. We're huge fans of Hearts of Inclusive Theatre and the great work you do across Hertfordshire. So without further ado, we're gonna listen to the song. So thanks for joining us. Just before you go, remind us of the socials and the website one more time.
Yes. So you can search for us on Facebook at heart.inclusive. Our website is hit-theatre.org.uk, and we are on Instagram. I think you can search for Hearts Inclusive Theatre and find us. I'm not quite sure what our handle is.
Yeah, well, do you know what? That's all you need to do is search
yes,
under Hearts
search Inclusive Hearts
Theatre.
Inclusive.
I did it myself recently, and I'm happily following the work, great work you're doing. So thanks a million, Tanya. Great to talk to you, and good luck with all the fundraising endeavours in the lead up to Christmas.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break now on the Parents Show on Mix 92.6.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
So welcome back to the Parents Show on Mix 92.6. It's great to have you with us again.
I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and today I am joined by Alex Taufik, who's from Sunflower Sorters. So if you're anything like me and your house needs just a bit of assistance with decluttering, we've got the perfect woman for you. And we're going to be talking to her in just a second. So hi, Alex. Thanks a million for joining us on the Parents Show.
Hi, Lydia. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. I can't believe there's a decluttering business. I can't wait to hear all about it, because it sounds like all my dreams have come true, to be honest with you. So tell me, how did you get started? How did the business start?
It got started really, happened quite naturally. So I had a cake business before I was doing for about 6 years. And it just became a bit too much, really, with weekends and things. So I wanted something that fitted in with life a bit more, with two young boys and a family to look after. So I've always kind of had a bit of a natural ability to organize and declutter. I was the kid who on a Sunday afternoon would be organizing my room and rearranging my furniture, much to my parents' dismay, but always organizing, and always the person in my family or friendship groups who would say, can you just kind of have a look at this and see what you think you can do with it, or how it could be organized differently. So yeah, I just kind of wanted a new challenge. So thought, I don't know, I'm going to sort this out. And I've been watching Stacey Solomon's Sort Your Life Out, which I'm sure some of the listeners might have watched as well, and absolutely love it. So, and then I realized that I could actually make a business from this and help other people locally to do it, not just, you know, friends and family, and actually make a real business out of it. So that's how it started, really.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the service works for some people like me who didn't even know such a service existed?
Yeah, it's funny, actually, because when you're in the world, you think that the world of decluttering, you think everybody knows about it, and actually they don't. And loads of people I've spoken to are like, really? This is a job? So basically, if people contact me, normally what we would do, we'd have like a phone call, so a chat on the phone, and just really talk about what's going on. What spaces they feel that need to be organized in their house, if they're feeling overwhelmed, and basically really talk about what their goals are. Then we book an initial consultation. So it's like about an hour home visit where I'll go around and I'll actually look at the space and see what's happening, see where there are any sticking points there are, and talk about, it's very bespoke to each person. So really talking about each person's and families' needs and what their routines are and what challenges they have, you know, because obviously all families are different. And then we book in the decluttering session. And really what that is that I come along and I work with you to step by step. We go through whatever place we've decided to work on in your house. It could be any, you know, it could be a kitchen declutter, a toy room, it could be bedrooms, wardrobes. And so we go through the space. I tend to try and, if I can, get everything out, and depending on the space that we've got, and really go through everything and see what is still necessary in the home, what is getting in the way, you know, what you're holding on to that you really don't need anymore, you know. So it's really a way of supporting that person, and I'm very non-judgmental. So but I bring lots of energy as well. So the problem I think people have with decluttering sometimes is the task feels so huge, and if they do get started, they get started and then they end up sitting around in this big old mess and then run out of energy and don't know how to get it all back in and organize properly. So yeah, that's kind of the process of it. And then so far people have just carried on booking me for more and more sessions, because I think once you see that what happens in one space, you know, how we can transform it in quite a short space of time sometimes, then people want to book in the next session. So
I bet it's quite addictive, because I try and do this thing in my head very unsuccessfully, or go where I think, imagine we were moving house next week, and do I really need this? But I say that and then I do nothing about it, Alex, you know, and I don't follow through in any kind of, and then the piles just build up and I never get around to sorting them out. So like, how far do you take the process? Like, so like if you kind of identify what isn't needed anymore, what happens to it?
So it all has to be with the client's permission to move anything on. So I can't just go in and decide, oh, these people don't need this. You know, it's all done very collaboratively. And we talk through the items. Some people like to have longer conversations about the items, you know, and they mean more to them. They might have sentimental value. But really, we're trying to change the space to support your whole family and just kind of stop that overwhelm. So if we get rid of, you know, some of the things, then what we can either do is we either can recycle stuff. You know, sometimes it's just rubbish as well, and it does need throwing away, but we recycle as much as we can. We donate as much as we can. I can take a boot full in my car, because one of the worst things is actually doing all this decluttering and then you're leaving these boxes of things in your house. And inevitably, if you don't get rid of them pretty quickly, they end up just coming back into the house again. So I try and get as much out as I can in a bootload, but I also give information about resources that can come and collect. There's lots of doorstep collections now that you can do. There's also an amazing, the Isabel Hospice charity. They've got a drive-through kind of hub for their charity shops in Wellington City, and you can drive through it. So you literally drive up in your car with a road and they pretty much take anything. It's amazing. Rather than things to charity shops. So that's another sticking point, isn't it? Sometimes you go to a charity shop and they say, well, we can only take one bag or we can't take any today. And you're in your head, you're ready to get rid of it all.
Yeah.
But things get in the way, unfortunately. So yeah, just some other resources.
Yeah. I mean, that's great to know. I feel like you're reading my mind, everything you're saying, because once I managed to get it into the car to go to the charity shop, it's soul destroying if you go to the charity shops. And some aren't very nice. Some charity shops are not very nice. I mean, the vast majority are lovely and really appreciate it, but I seem to be a bit unlucky and get the grumpy ones. Yeah. Who
there's definitely a certain time of day that it's best to go. You don't go towards the end of the day.
Okay.
Because they're normally taking all the donations they can at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a good tip. And I'd imagine weekends are probably busier than during the week.
Yes.
So that's great to know. So you are looking for options, because part of the reason this is my excuse for not decluttering is I don't want to put it all in landfill. I don't want to just turn around and just stick it in the big brown bin, partially because I have some kind of attachment to some of the stuff, but also because I do think it has another life and has another opportunity to be used.
Definitely. The sustainability side of it is really important to me, actually. And also trying to get into people's mindsets about consumption, really, and replacing things. You know, a lot of people who have a lot of clutter, what they do is they don't realize something's there because it's not organized properly. They don't realize it's there. So they buy again, you know, and then you end up having four or five of the same thing and forgotten about the, you know, forgotten about the one that you had years ago that was there. So part of the process of decluttering is seeing what you've got and just saying, I don't need to buy anymore. You know, recently I had someone who with beauty products, and actually what we ended up seeing was that there's so many duplicates, but what we did is make a little box under her bed so that she could go, she shops under in that box under her bed first before she goes and says, right, okay, that one's run out, I need another one. So, you know, just trying to use what we've already got and really be mindful about how much we're bringing into our home, how much is really necessary. So,
and is there an optimal amount of time? Like, you work generally on a 4-hour session, is that right?
3 hours is the minimum, really. It's quite tricky. It really depends on the person, because, you know, some people will take longer to go through each item, and some people. What I'm actually finding is that people, because they've made that commitment to do it and they've brought me on board, they're actually ready and, you know, they want to do it. So as long as, you know, I can keep supporting them through the process, they are actually getting rid of things and saying, no, I don't need that in my life. And sometimes not even remembering that you've had it as well. So, you know, finding something, suddenly, oh, and then realizing actually if I haven't seen it for this long, do I really need it anymore?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's brilliant. And so you help declutter. Do you also help put systems in place?
Yeah,
because
definitely.
That's my next problem.
Yeah. Yeah. The systems is the really important part, actually. So the decluttering is obviously you need to get rid of as much as you can within reason, but also where you're putting it back afterwards. So I'll also look at storage options for you. You know, sometimes I can purchase them for customers before I come back, make sure they fit the space. So many people go out and just buy baskets or boxes that they think, brilliant, I can put all my stuff in here. And then they realize it doesn't fit their space or it's not really the right thing for the right items. So yeah, really organizing the space and really thinking about your routines, you know, morning routine, particularly with parents, I think is a really important one. You know, where are, especially in this weather, where are the gloves? Where are the hats? Where are the coats? Where are the shoes? You know, all those things, the water bottles, the, you know, just that process, making that as easy in the morning as you possibly can. And those systems will be different for every person. You know, not everything works the same for each person. So that's part of my job is to kind of get to know people and understand how their lives work and how they want them to work, actually, even if they're, you know, they're not working the way they want them to. How can we change that? How can we make life easier? Some people are much more detailed and like everything labeled, and other people are more like, as long as I know it's in that box, then that's brilliant, you know. So yeah, everyone's different with that.
I feel energized just listening to you, Alex. Honestly, I do, because I think there must be other people like me. I've definitely got a touch of the ADHD, so I've got my strengths and I've got my weaknesses, but I definitely, it's just a bit overwhelming. I mean, I think, and to get a helping hand to just steer you through the overwhelm, it must be just fantastic. So tell us why you think it's important to declutter. You must see an amazing before and after with your clients. I mean, with them, not just with the space.
Oh, definitely. You know, you have, sometimes you don't see that straight away. It can take some time. You know, you think you're going to get all this stuff done in, you know, a short space of time, and it takes a little bit longer. It's really important because I just think it's a massive strain on your mental health and your well-being when your house is cluttered. For me, if I was trying to do something, so say when I had the cake business before, it was in my kitchen. If my house was cluttered and messy, I couldn't focus on my work. I had to go and, you know, get that done first, tidy up first. And I just think that it's can be such a struggle and so overwhelming for people that they don't know where to start. And it all feels so massive. And they will, like I said before, it might start and then they create a bigger mess. And then, you know, so that kind of stops people starting in the first place. So I think I've recently done a post on it on my social media about it being self-care. I truly believe decluttering is a form of self-care, you know, and it's not all bubble baths and candles. It's, you know, what can you do to take the strain off your life? How can you calm down the overwhelm? As parents, particularly, we just have so many things going on, so many balls that we're juggling, and your home really needs to support you, not hinder you. So, yeah, I just think it's really important part of life, really, and part of the process of bringing up children, particularly.
Yeah, and we all need a helping hand, don't we? We just, like you said, like coping with the overwhelm, and you really just need to pick something and get started on sorting it. Another thing I love about what you're doing is that you're particularly appealing to families with neurodiverse children. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
So I've got a background in social care. So I used to be a social worker and obviously worked with loads of different families and families who were neurodivergent. Parents were, children were, or a mixture. And I just kind of see how overwhelming home life can be when the systems don't match how their brain works. And I think sometimes neurodiverse families are often made to feel like they're messy or disorganized. And really, it's just that the systems that are being used are just not suiting them. So for me, it's just making sure that everyone is kind of included and supported. I think also I've seen probably the biggest transformation and boost from parents with neurodiversity or parents of children with neurodiversity, just having things set up in a way that actually works for them and their family, you know, however different that might be from other people's. We get these images on social media about these beautiful, you know, aesthetic, everything's labeled, everything's boxed in a certain way. And I think parents feel this pressure that if I'm going to do it, it has to look like this. But that just doesn't work for everyone, you know. So the way I work with people, so the goal's the same for all families, but the approach that I use is different. So it's clearer, more manageable steps. Sometimes we work a bit slower through things. Sometimes we'll instead of, you know, saying we're going to do the whole kitchen today, we'll literally start cupboards at a time. So it's not too overwhelming, because that's where the barrier goes up for people sometimes, when it's just too much for them, you know, and all the stuff around them just becomes way too much. So just keeping it small, keeping it short, having little breaks sometimes. Yeah. And trying to just, I tweak the pace that we go, or the structure that we have, and just try and be as supportive as I can, really.
It sounds brilliant. I'm sure it's so uplifting for others to hear what you're saying, particularly when you say, you know, you're going to clear it out and then put a structure in, because
yeah,
that's a big disincentive, isn't it? There's one job, clearing it out. There's another job, getting rid of it all. And then what do you do with what's left? So it's honestly fantastic to hear how you approach it. And can you talk to us a little about Send Help Collective? Talk to us a little bit about that and what it means. What does it do?
Okay, so Send Collective is, so Send as in special educational needs and disabilities. So myself and my friend Sarah, who she's a specialist Send teacher, and she tutors children with special educational needs around study skills. They're in mainstream school to get them through their GCSEs or any examinations that they might have. So we kind of were talking the other day about our businesses and how we both focused on SEND families or neurodiverse families. And we just said that there's really need a space where families can get practical help, non-judgmental support, whether that's around what I do, so around routines and organization, or whether it's around education, you know, just general overwhelm. We were kind of talking about what would be the ideal thing that you could have help with, if you could, you know, if you could get help with anything. We kind of worked through, you know, obviously the tidying, organizing, cleaning of your house, the education for your children, support with them in their exams. We talked about nutrition. We talked about, you know, counseling support. Yeah. So what we are trying to create, it's in its early stages at the moment, is trying to bring professionals together who specialize in working with families with neurodiverse needs, and trying to bring them together and just making kind of a bit of a hub, a collective where parents can go and find information out, and they're trusted resources as well, you know, because it's a minefield out there, I think, for parents. And, you know, you're being told that you should get this for your child, or this, they need this help, or they need that help. So what we're trying to do is just find one space where everyone can come. And even if we, the services who are in that collective, don't meet that parents or those children's needs, we will know how to signpost you to other people, recommend other services that can do that. So it's kind of trying to build a community, I guess, which I think probably is lacking quite a lot. And so, yeah, trying to get a community and empower parents to be able to make responsible decisions for their children. So, yeah, that's what it is. So we're in early stages at the moment, but hopefully in the next month or so, we'll get that going. We're meeting with a few other services, and we're just going to try and find where we're going to go with it, really. So watch this space.
Brilliant. We'll come back and tell us
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, that would be great.
But I know we have a wonderful regular contributor to the Parents Show, Karen Hannan, who runs an organization called Newmankind, which is specifically for neurodivergent parents and children. And I really, really worry about the isolation of parents with neurodiversity, either for their neurodivergence or because of their children's. And I really worry that they're out on their own and a bit lonely. And so I think, and I'm always bearing them in mind, particularly it was easier when my children were in primary school to have kind of an opportunity to reach out. But it's harder at secondary school level. Definitely. Where there really isn't any overlap. But I think having a non-judgmental space to be with like-minded people, you know, with similar challenges and issues is such a lovely thing to offer and put together. And I'm sure it'll be very welcome.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, we're looking forward to getting it up and running, really, just so we can put it out there and hopefully people will find it really helpful.
I'm sure. And yeah, please, let's come back on the show when it's up and running and let us know. Great. Okie doke. So, you've blown my mind, Alex. So with your decluttering business and how you're focusing specifically on your diverse families, and then to have the Send Help Collective is really, really lovely. So how can our listeners get in touch and find out more about your decluttering business?
I've got a website, so it's sunflowersorters.co.uk. So all the information is on there and you can contact me through there. But I've also got social media pages. So I'm at Sunflower Sorters for both Instagram and Facebook. So I'm always putting little things on there. Sometimes there'll be tips on there as well that, you know, people can follow. I'm actually going to have a little supportive declutter thing going. I'm going to do like a 12 days of Christmas and see if we can do 12 days of small, you know, tiny little sorts per day, decluttering per day, and doing it all together. And hopefully that will get people going as well, because it, like I say, it's a bit addictive. Once you get started and you see the benefits of it, you keep going. So yeah.
Brilliant. It's been so lovely talking to you, Alex, and thanks for sharing your tips and tricks. And I'm sure our listeners will go on. Of course, I have to say that there are other decluttering businesses out there, so have a look around. But it's brilliant to shine light on the great work you're doing. So Sunflower Sorters, check it out. And Alex, thanks so much for joining us on the Parents Show.
Thanks for having me, Lydia.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.